Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Humans, after 12 years, we have parted ways with the corporate networks. We are taking it to the next level with our own independent platform, ImprovForHumans.com. We're not just continuing the show. We have created a hub for you all to go deeper into the craft of improv with me, Brett, and all the guests that you love so much from Improv for Humans, along with a ton of new exclusive podcast and content. Not only will you still find new ad-supported episodes available free every week, as always, but now, with our new Rule of Four subscription, only $40 for a year, $4 a month, you get ad-free new episodes every week with bonus scene, exclusive access to the entire back catalog. That's over 600 episodes, all ad-free. Four brand new improv education podcasts I call Professor Besser, where I will break down classic Improv for Human scenes, take questions from the members-only Discord, explore, debate the craft with other improv experts. Have you heard me talk with Will Hines and Ian Roberts yet? And I have also uploaded my vault of VHS tapes from the Stone Ages, the 90s, the early aughts, featuring tons of never seen footage, as well as what I believe to be the greatest comedy movies that I will share with you with other guests. Sketches, performances, stand-up bits. Wait till you see this all on Professor Besser. Plus, I have this whole other feed, The Best Taste in the Universe, where I deep dive with guests on music and sci-fi. On that, just whole separate feed, but it's all part of the Rule of Four subscription. Plus, you get all four of our premium limited series Brett and I made with all-star casts, including Stolen Idea, My Dead Wife, The Robot Car, The States of Perfection, and Besser versus the Audience. And for the first time ever, all of our content can be listened to virtually any podcast app. Gone are the days of needing separate apps to get all this stuff. The sign-up process could not be easier. It just takes one step, one tap to import each of our feeds into your app, and then you can just listen like any other show. All this for $4 a month individually, or $40 for an entire year. That's 2 months of savings. Humans, $40 for 1 year right now. Humans, you know, leaving the corporate network I mentioned earlier, that makes producing a podcast with three paid guests not as easy, but it is a labor of love for Brett and I. By subscribing, not only are you allowing us to make new episodes, you're supporting our ensemble and empowering all sorts of new content that's already up for you to take a taste of. Just for $4, go taste it, humans. If nothing else, you won't have to hear this message again. So go to improvforhumans.com and sign up now.
Human, you are entering an improvised comedy show restricted to humans only. Improv for Humans with Matt Besser. Based on your suggestions and other sources of inspiration, Matt and guests will perform fully improvised scenes. Today's episode features human guests:
Will Hines, Neil Casey, surprise guests. Welcome to Improv for Humans with Matt Besser. That is me. Brett, keep this going. How could we have not used Mr. Newman, Mr. Gary Newman before? Hello, Neil. Hello, Will.
Hello, hello, Matt.
Hello, Newman.
Hello, Newman.
There he is.
I'll retell this story. Maybe do a scene just right off of it. So I'm in Santa Fe. Why am I there? I'm in Santa Fe Lux. My parents used to live there, but I can't. This is as an adult and not so long ago, probably 10 years ago. And I'm at this barbecue place. I think it's called the Cowgirl. And you know, they have a karaoke night where they take a, it's a rather small place, you know, maybe 30 tables. And for karaoke night, they probably remove like two tables in a corner and set up a mic. So one day we're eating there. And just all of a sudden they start doing this process and we didn't know there was karaoke mic or karaoke night. So we're basically the table that ends up just basically next to the mic. Just imagine being at a restaurant and all of a sudden karaoke night transforms around you and you're in the front row. So, and I was like, all right, whatever, this will be interesting. And, I forgot what the first two people sang, something typical. But then this third guy got up, you know, he's dressed in all black. And instead of using one of the karaoke tracks that comes along with the lyrics you can see on the screen, I've never seen this. Maybe this is something that's done at karaoke nights, but he puts his own CD, just a regular CD in. And he's just going to sing over Gary Newman. Have you guys seen that before? Is that a thing?
No.
I didn't think so. So, because it was like this new, well, I'm spoiling my story. So he goes, basically the song wasn't on the karaoke machine. He's like, I'm going to sing a Gary Newman song. And I went, all right, in cars. And I'm front row. And I think I'm supporting this guy. And he goes, no, not in cars. It's one of the new Gary Newman songs. Because he's still going. He's still cranking it out. And then he sang over a Gary Newman track. Hey, Hillary.
Hi, you guys. Sorry about that.
No problem. We're in the show right now. Welcome, Hillary. Special guest. I billed you as a special surprise guest.
Hillary Matthews. Wow. Hope no one's disappointed.
Not at all. And I just told a story about going to a karaoke night or becoming part of a karaoke night at a restaurant and thinking I'm supporting a guy. And I yell a song by Gary Newman, his classic song, but then this guy just sings over a CD track of a newer song, which was rather distracting. But let's do a scene on that.
Excuse me, waiter.
Yes.
Could you? I've got a Tupperware container here. Could you take this in the back kitchen and heat it up? This is the food I would like to eat here tonight.
This is your own food you brought?
This is the food I brought here. This is brand new recipe.
Rice, and I see rice in there.
Well,
I see
some... it's more than, there's a lot more going on in there than just rice. There's rice, there's beans, and there's...
Looks like
there's
mainly rice.
There's a lot of rice, but there's a lot of flavor. You know what? Just take it back there. This is so new that you really wouldn't get it. Rice and beans is the old dish.
I'm really not supposed to do this. You already bought a cocktail. I'm fine. It's not about the money thing.
I bought a cocktail and I will pay you for the equivalent meal, but this is what I want to eat.
It's the health department thing, you know?
Well, I'm going to eat it, right? So I'm liable for whatever. I'm not asking you to give it to anybody
else. Yeah, but once it goes in our kitchen, then we're actually liable.
Well,
no matter how novel a recipe it is.
Not just novel. Good.
It's frowned upon. You know, there's a lot of different types of...
Who's frowning? Don't use the passive voice. Are you imposing your authority on me?
I'm not frowning. I'm...
You're in favor of it? Then just do it. Hey, pal, I'll tip you 30%, okay. All right?
You know,
I run a junkyard. Do you know how much money I make?
You run the junkyard?
So later, after the 30% tip, he is out there with his own meal and next to... Honey, what's that guy eating right there? Sir? I'm sorry.
Yeah.
You know what it is? Was it on the menu? Is that on? Where is that on the menu? It smells good.
It's brand new. You wouldn't know it. You wouldn't know of it. It's a new. It's
That's
a new.
What rice I'm asking.
It's yeah, a new rice like and beans recipe.
Oh, where is new. It on the menu?
What's, yeah, and what's new about the standard?
Sage. Have you heard of the spice sage?
I have.
Yeah, well, this is loaded with sage. Most people are scared to put sage in their rice, but the chef that I work with, who a lot of people had written off, he's still going strong. And this is a new recipe.
In this kitchen,
it's just as
the guy
good as
here?
Old stuff. Huh?
The guy
no,
here? Like
not
sage?
The guy here.
I don't mean to
here.
Be a wet blanket, but isn't this a health code violation of some kind?
What is everybody here, a lawyer? Are we near a law school or something like that? What's going on? I don't know if it's a healthcare violation. Hey, I got some news for you. We all jaywalk. We break laws that we don't think are just.
I never jaywalk.
You've never jaywalked?
Oh, no.
I'll okay, well, you don't corner. Ever break some minor, small laws that just happen to be silly in the situation, which technically they're being enforced?
Yeah, I guess I do that sometimes.
Okay, all right. So Honey. Maybe it's a health code violation. I'm only giving it to myself. So I'm here. You know what? But take a bite of it.
That's definitely a health
with
code violation.
With your own
violation.
Spoon, just from this side of the dish.
Okay, if it's from that side with my own spoon. Do you want some of my spoon that I'm getting, honey?
Yes.
Okay, here you go.
And can I put in some entrees for you guys?
We'll have some of that, what he's having, the sage rice.
Sage beans.
Sage beans.
Mm.
The stuff I microwaved in the back as a one-time favor for this guy?
Just let me back in your kitchen. I'll take over.
Our chef's not going to appreciate that.
Well, I just think you need an expert to be curating what you're offering.
Did you hear the specials? We've got good stuff. We've got
I
duck
heard
confit.
Them. No, yes, yes. And we love duck confit because we hate ducks. But please, can you just
Me too,
do this
by
for
the
us?
Way.
Yeah, they're, just give it a rest, ducks. Yeah, please.
Maybe throw we'll the ducks in the trash and get us this stuff. 35.
I'm not going to do I'm not going to go back and tell the chef that instead of cooking the duck legs in its own fat, that he should throw them in the trash and slam a bunch of sage into rice. I'm not going to do that. He's had a rough week.
What is this? We cut back to the kitchen. What is this? What's that? I'm somebody else. What is this? What's going on?
They don't want any of the specials. They don't want any of the specials.
You
they
told them the special?
Yeah, I told them the special, the duck confit.
You tell them I sliced the duck's neck? Tell them I sliced the duck's neck.
They don't like the duck. They would be happy to hear that. They don't want the duck. They want it in the trash.
We screw over the ducks.
They want you to make a dish that's mostly rice, a few beans, and just an insane amount of sage.
No, that's crazy. I'm very moderate with sage. That is the dogma of good cooking. Moderate sage.
Sage in moderation. Don't
of
use
course.
The, don't
any
use the
culinary school
voice.
Will teach that.
Back at the table. Okay, I get that. Look, can we just come back in the kitchen, see a few ducks getting killed, and we'll take the rice the way the chef wants to make it. We don't need all the sage. We just really came here for dead duck or ducks dying.
Most of the ducks that I know are dead. He might have one more he can kill in front of you, if you'll excuse. And I, you know,
that
I
would
have
be
other
amazing.
Tables. Just cards on the table. I have other tables. So give me 1 second. I'm going to go to the back.
Okay, good. What'd they say?
They want to watch you.
I'm not doing any other orders until this is resolved. What do they want?
I wish you would, because table 14, they asked for the poutine.
I don't care about anybody besides me winning this interaction.
They want to watch you slice the duck's neck. They
That's
don't
fine.
Want to eat the duck, and then they want to come in and cook rice in your kitchen.
Oh, you. As long as I don't have to break my
this
personal—
This is fine with you. I'd love to be out of it. I'd
bring
love
him
to
in.
Just come back. Get okay. All right.
You're in the, no,
me.
But you're in this. You bring
I
him in. You stay
in the
here.
I don't
you stay
be
here.
Okay.
You're a witness.
I'm going to go out and talk to them. Excuse
Get him.
Me.
I'll be here. I'm not doing anything.
The chef says you can come back and watch him kill a duck and everything else you want to do. And I'm going to go talk to some of my other tables if that's all right with everybody.
This is fantastic.
Come on.
It usually
right,
takes
welcome
us
in.
Much
you guys, you want to see the duck killed?
Yes.
That's what you want?
Yeah.
Yes, we'd love that.
Nobody kills a duck like me. Nobody. You hate duck?
Yeah,
we
loathe
really
them.
We really do. They shit
me too.
All over a park near
right, most of the ducks here are dead. But you see this one here? I got one live one. You see this guy?
Look at that fucker.
Look at this
asshole.
Smug. Look at a smug guy. Every think about it. Every cartoon duck.
I got a little white band around my neck.
Yeah, I can walk on land and float in the water with my butt.
Ooh, I like to migrate, and my dick is a corkscrew. Whatever. Listen.
No true.
Yeah.
Okay, but I got to tell you, out of respect, I make it a fair fight, and I have to box him to death. It's not fair for me just to use a knife or a weapon that he doesn't have available to him, so I beat him with my body. All these ducks I killed in one-on-one combat.
Okay. How are we doing on that poutine?
We're behind. We're behind. We haven't started. I haven't started the poutine.
All right, tell I'll the tell poutine them a couple
to wait. They're going to sleep a lot tonight after they eat it. So they got time.
I thought we agreed on slicing the duck's neck.
At the end.
I think once my wife and finished, I are looking forward to seeing the blood.
You'll see it.
Okay.
I'm going to humiliate the duck in one-on-one combat, and then as a killing stroke, like a gladiator, I will slice its throat for you, the emperor, the customer's pleasure.
Quack.
Okay, come here. Quack. Ow! Oh, God, this one's feisty. All right, come on.
Are you okay?
No, yes, I've got it.
You're bleeding.
Oh,
he got your eye. Oh, fuck, he got your eyeball. We cut to the hospital. Hey, have you found the eyeball? Has the eyeball been located?
No, we haven't. We haven't found the eyeball of the man you brought in here.
Yes.
The chef you brought in?
Yes.
No, we haven't found the eyeball. We haven't found it.
We got to the cleaning crew that have been looking for the eyeball for 5 hours. Boss, I'm sorry.
I don't understand how this is part of our job. This isn't part of our job.
I thought we're just supposed to clean up, not look for
things.
We can
clean up the blood. We're not supposed to locate any body parts.
I found a marble. An old salt shaker. We're done cleaning. We gotta go.
We really need you to look for the chef's eyeball.
Why?
We just need it. If it's an eyeball, can survive outside of the human body for up to a day and a half. So if there's any chance we can find it rolling around anywhere on the ground, we need to.
All right, We cut to next week. Back in the kitchen, the chef with one eyeball is back at work. Hey, waiter, come here.
Yeah.
Come here. Listen, you know I have no depth perception anymore because I have one eye.
We talked about it.
Look at this dish. Tell me.
Yeah.
Is it arranged correctly?
I mean,
I can't see front to back. It looks like a flat.
You're worried about that it's too, that it's, there's something oddly deep about
it. Did I space it wrong because it all
looks bad from like axis? You're afraid it looks bad?
I'm afraid
it looks
fine
bad to me. Here, I'll look at it. You know, you could just kind of bend your head down and look at it from the side.
I can't do that.
And look at it up and down. Well, you could. You're gonna
I don't know
to.
How to do it.
Well, you're going to have to. Because
we cut to an hour later and that same waiter is being called over to a table.
Excuse me, waiter.
Yes.
I was eating my pea soup, and there's an eyeball in my soup.
There is. Okay, stay here.
I didn't order eyeball in my soup.
I'm sure you didn't. This is a long story, but the chef, it's the chef's eyeball. Well, I hope it's the one he lost. I'll check with him. Hopefully he's still got one eye in his head.
It better be the one he lost if it's one of them. But I didn't order this.
I'm going to get you, believe me, I'm going to get you a fresh pea soup, no problem, because I'm very grateful that you found it without chewing on it or popping it. Because again, especially in a
I had it in my mouth
soup,
and I spit it back out, but I never brought my teeth down on it.
You didn't crunch it. You didn't pop it like a grape.
No. Especially I thought it was a cherry tomato at first.
That makes perfect sense to me in pea soup. Well, either way.
I thought it was a giant pea, and I was like, no, peas aren't this big. Maybe it's a cherry tomato. And
really?
I said, no, it's an eyeball.
There's a chickpea.
It'd be a big chickpea.
It would be the size of a big. Excuse me, Justin. I don't want to. I'm going to get this back to its owner.
The chef is raging in the kitchen. He's pissed off about all the depth.
Chef,
I can't do anything.
Chef.
Everything's missing the plates. What?
Chef.
Yes, yes.
I got good news for you.
Oh, is that?
Here's looking at you.
Pop it in.
Right back in?
Yeah.
I don't think that's how it works. The doctor said bring it back to the doctors were pretty clear to bring it back to the hospital, I think.
We'll just try it real quick. You don't know.
I don't want to.
Pardon me. Hi.
I have so many tables.
Sorry to interrupt. I'm from the health department. Yeah, I saw that whole little display with the soup and the old woman's eyeball getting all mixed up in it. And I have to say, I heard that there were microwaved sage rice beans last week, and we're going to have to downgrade you for that.
What?
Your one word suggestion from Discord.
Right now, I'm going to go to one word suggestion. I'm going to give you guys three words to pick one of them. Ticks. Got a tick story.
Mm-hmm.
A shucker story. Guess that's a salesperson. Or perturb. All my stories concern perturb.
I like the tick.
Go for it.
We'll any, did you say you have a tick one? Because I got a shucker one.
Oh, no, please go for the shucker. I was racking my brain.
I'll tell you a story, but I got to warn you that my life is boring. But shucker reminds me of corn, like shucking corn. And that makes me think of corn mazes where people will, you know, they'll cut mazes into cornfields around Halloween that you can like go. And I don't know if you've ever done this, but in my mind, I pictured the corn mazes as these like the corns towering over your head and you're like kind of lost in a cornfield finding your way out in kind of an exciting sort of, I don't know, mythical puzzle. But I did one in Eastern Pennsylvania, and it was like the lamest version. I was in college. I brought a friend of mine. I was like, we're going to go do a corn maze. This will be so cool. I thought it'd be like the hedge maze in The Shining where Jack Nicholson's like running around. No, but this was like the corn came up to like your torso. You could see over the whole thing. It wasn't even as big as like half a tennis court. Maybe it was like half a tennis court. And you just, it was almost like a like you walked through like a, took you like 30 seconds. And I we had driven like 45 minutes from the University of Connecticut.
No.
And I felt so stupid. And then we're just there in a cornfield. It was just supposed to be for, and everybody else there was a kid. It was just like local kids would come and there was
that's the best detail, how far you drove, how psyched you were to see it.
And
when you were walking up to it, could you tell perspective wise
so
how
early,
short
it was? Like, I hope is that it? And then I was too embarrassed. It was a friend of mine on my dorm floor who I didn't know that well. Like we had sort of just bonded over like REM or something. Like, we're just like and I was like, oh, there's this cool thing we got to go try. And I just was convinced it would be something it wasn't. Even the farmers or the person running it was like embarrassed on my behalf. Everyone else was kids in costumes. And we were just two.
So we cut to this maze and for kids, it's meant for the corn is tall. They can't see above. So it's perfect. It's awesome. They are lost. And Will, his roommate's gone back to the car because he's frustrated. And Will, there's an adult right there. Mister?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. We're a little scared.
Uh-huh.
And we were wondering if we could have your help.
Yeah. Yeah. I'd be happy to.
Okay. There is a bully chasing us and through this maze. Actually, he was chasing us before and we escaped into the maze hoping we could lose him here. But now I heard him, but we can't see him. If you could
help us. I can see him.
Where are you?
He's wearing
out,
like,
come out wherever you are.
He's wearing a all denim, like a denim jacket, tight jeans.
Yeah.
Two packs of cigarettes. How old are you kids?
10, you know, just like it says on the sign for to be in the maze.
Oh,
10 or under.
Yeah. Didn't see that sign. Yeah.
I'm 9 and a half.
Next year, we won't be able to do the maze. A lot of 10-year-olds from around the county really get excited about this maze because next year, you're too tall for it, can't come anymore.
This bully looks pretty tough. He's like punching the walls of the maze and stuff like that.
Oh,
He keeps taking us into the dead end corners and shoving us into the husks.
Yeah, he said he was going to shuck our hair from our skulls.
Hey, you guys done asking this grown up for help? Because I could see you the whole time. The corn maze only comes up 3 feet. I was just saying, come out wherever you are, because it's kind of a classic bully thing.
Help us. Now, help us, sir.
I don't Please know if I'm us. Supposed to be involved. You know, this is like a
no,
rite of
passage. You're clearly not supposed to be here at all. There's a sign at the entrance and the exit that says 10 years old or below. So you're not supposed to be in here unless you work here.
You're a hero, though.
But you could be a hero and make up, redeem yourself.
I don't even know what I don't know.
You're what I want to be when I'm your age. I don't want to be going to college parties or tailgating or football games or concerts or stand-up comedy shows.
Yeah. I don't want to be out on a date. I'd rather be with some loser that I barely know.
You don't want to be me. Trust me. You guys should aim higher, like a lot higher.
But redeem yourself. Beat up this bully.
I'm not going to beat up the bully, but I'll
beat
up
this kid. All right, enough talking. You're going to beat him up.
Oh, there he is.
Not.
All right, hey.
How'd you find us?
Mr. Grown up.
He's got me by my collar.
Hey, all right. I'm getting in between you guys. What's your name, bully?
Travis K.
Huh?
Travis. My last name is Kostanowicz. There's another Travis in my class, so I go by Travis K.
Travis K. All right. Great. Well, my name is Todd Isaacson.
Lame.
No, it's not lame, actually. It's a very good name. I'm from a big family in Minnesota. Listen. What, Travis?
I was just going to say, I got a rough home life, so... Okay, that's the difference between you and me. You have a big family, and I have a mean one.
My family was pretty rough. Okay, I've had my trials and tribulations. Now, listen, I'm not going to beat you
up. It still doesn't excuse being in the maze.
Well, I'm sorry. I just I blew by the signs. I didn't look at the signs.
They're big signs.
I guess they're
the
big.
The signs are higher than the maze itself. The maze should be made out of signs instead of corn.
I was so focused on the maze. I hope once I got into it, it would keep going and get bigger. But it didn't. That was silly.
Well, now you're here, so you got to play by 10-year-old rules.
What do you mean? I gotta actually fight?
Yeah.
Fight him.
He's got me by my cuffs.
Travis, I'm grabbing your arms. Don't do it yet. God, you're quite strong, Travis. Good.
And he's good at the maze.
So they actually start fighting, and the other two kids get it all with their phones. They video it.
Take that, Travis K. Take that. Todd Isaacson says, pow. Right in the stomach. That's where it hurts, pal. You think you got to go for the face because of cartoons, but you get him in the stomach. That's what knocks the wind out of you. How old are you?
At class on Monday. This video has become viral. There he is. That's the guy who beat up the 10-year-old at the 10-year-old maze.
It's not just for 10-year-olds. It's 10 and below. So there were 6-year-olds there.
I invited him to the REM concert last night, and he said he didn't want to go.
Whoa. He had something better to do?
Yeah.
Hey.
Yeah.
Why'd you beat up those 10-year-olds?
I didn't mean to. Well, they needed to be saved. They needed a hero.
Did you finish the maze?
No, I couldn't figure it out.
So you got like 10 feet into the maze and you kicked the shit out of a kid and you left?
Yes. I just went back the way I came in.
Weren't you tall enough to see the...
Yes.
Where the maze ended?
I would see it, and then when I would start to walk it, I would go the wrong way.
What was your costume?
I didn't have a costume. I just
what?
I didn't have a costume. I was wearing my Bloom County Anxiety Closet T-shirt.
That does sound scary.
Yeah, well, it's not a costume. It's just a piece of merch I have. I'm a big fan of the Bloom County comic strip. Listen,
that's what's scary.
We go beat up townies at the car wash every Friday if you want to join us. But they're people our age we're beating up, not 10-year-olds.
I'll go with you because I like hanging out with people, but I don't promise that I'm going to get into a fight.
Car wash is pretty tough to navigate.
I won't get lost in the car wash.
Oh, the bros are getting ready to go pick some fights.
So let me get this straight. Townies. We're college guys. We go to beat up the townies?
Well, they come here to beat us up, too.
Aren't we supposed to? Okay, we're beating up the town. We're just going into town and beating up the people who didn't go to college?
Yeah, it's not like the townies can come into college to beat us up there. We got to beat them halfway at the car wash.
I guess so. Well, I don't need to get into a fight, okay? I'm just going to enjoy this car wash. Enjoy the company of my new friends, you guys.
It's like going to a bowling party and not bowling. Is that what you're saying?
Kind of. I mean, sometimes you go to things just for the hang.
Beep, beep. Oops. Can you guys get out of the way of the entrance to the car wash?
What do you guys think of this song? What do you think of this? Pretty good, right?
Hey, this makes me not want to fight. Turn it off.
It's jangly, right?
Yeah. This makes me want to dance.
That's Mike Mills right there. It's Kate Pearson. These are all great singers.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe, now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Let's talk some more about that.
I don't want to brag, but I have been to a pumpkin patch within the last 2 years. And so I know about the most recent corn innovations. Mm. And it is like a giant pit made out of with a hay bale perimeter. And it's like a ball pit, but it's dried kernels of corn. And it was filled with children just kind of like blissing out with the tactile sensation of, it seems like it was like a kind of a catnip to them. Like it seemed awesome.
That does seem awesome.
Yeah.
I didn't get in it, but that does seem awesome.
So they're just swimming around like a,
how like deep a, it does it
like
go?
A ball pit.
Are they like neck deep?
Yeah. They were like fully laying in it, like sand at the beach and kind of submerging themselves and like, you know, like draining it from their fingers and just like they were sedated.
Out in the country, they call, come on up here. This is the new city girl. What's your name again?
Katrina.
Katrina, come on up to the top. This is Katrina. She's never gone silo jumping before.
No, I haven't.
Well, you're going to have a great time, Katrina. Maybe it'll feel like ASMR for you.
Sorry. Sorry. The way that you guys are saying my name, it almost seems like it's menacing, but it's not, right?
Okay. No, it's just a country welcome. We're just trying to relate to you with unique sensory experiences that you people in the city seem to enjoy.
Oh, thanks. That's so nice of you. So this is like ASMR, you said?
ASMR.
Well, you get off on it, you know, in a sensual way, in a sense way, sex way. But anyway, what we're going to do up here, what we're going to do is jump down in there into the corn silo, right? But don't get too deep.
You'll come sliding out the bottom, have an experience, a sort of blissful peace experience as you're sliding through the silo. And then you'll come out at the bottom by the hogs.
It's like the silo shitting you out, but You get the experience going through all the corn kernels.
I didn't realize that this is what you guys were getting up to out in the country.
Of course, city girl. That's why people come out to see what we're up to.
More like getting down to. Ill gravity will take you down there, but don't stick in the middle, like I said. Sometimes you'll get into that corn bliss, and you don't want to come out, but you got to keep moving down towards the hog trough.
You want me to go first? You want me to give it a shot, see how it's done?
No one knows it better.
Okay, here I go. All right, I'll pop out down by the hogs in about 30, 35 minutes.
Oh my God, that's so long.
Here I go.
Wait. Does he need to be able to hold his breath for that long?
Well, you do take it in just the corn kernel dust is what gives you the high. But yeah, you want to take a big suck of oxygen right before you go under the kernels.
Right on.
So it will take, since you're a newbie, it might take you longer than 35 minutes.
Yeah, but can I remind you, I'm like a really hip city kid. So we've been doing drugs since we were like 12. Yeah. So I think I can handle a little corn dust.
All right. You're next.
Okay, here I go.
Oh. She slides down the silo into the corn, deep right into the center.
Holy
she's
shit.
Overwhelmed by a sense of bliss and comfort, and she's lulled. And suddenly, a spirit animal appears to her.
A hog!
She has a vision of a hog who approaches. Hello, Katrina.
Hello, hog.
Please call me Zephyridi.
Okay, Zephyridi.
I'm an call ancient me
Katrina.
What is it again?
Katrina.
Katrina?
Yes.
Where's the accent?
I've never
what's been asked syllable
that before.
Katrina?
Katrina.
Okay, in the middle. Well,
yeah.
I'm an ancient spirit here to guide you.
Thank
you're
you.
On a quest, Katrina.
Yes, I am.
We quickly cut to the bottom of the silo at the hog trough. It's been 2 hours. She's been in there too long. What the fuck? She's been caught in the middle. We cut back.
And you see, that's why your mother was never really mad at you, but at society.
I can finally forgive her.
Now take this sword and slay your older self.
Wow. Okay.
Stab. Here's your older self, of a manifestation of your older self. Stab her.
Wow, it's like me, but in hog form.
Yes, this is a hog version of yourself. Stab it. Zephyridi commands it.
And as she starts to stab herself and fight with herself, the good old boys have jumped back into the silo, and they have rooted around in the corn and grabbed her, and they're trying to bring her
come
and
on.
Pull her down.
Come on, girl! Hog got in! You can't stay here! Hog got into the silo! Trying to trick you, confuse you. Come on out! Get Hog! Get!
Back to her dream. She's struggling to win the fight against her old self.
You're being pulled away! Keep killing yourself!
Zephyridi, help me!
I can't!
Stand.
I can't! They think I'm devious! They don't trust me!
No, please!
Keep fighting! You're getting pulled away!
Slop time.
Oh, I gotta go to slop to be had. I gotta go, Katrina.
And we cut to the bottom of the hog trough, and she lands down in it, down in the mud. It's been 4 hours she's been in there.
Nuts.
She's whacked out of her mind. Katrina, can you hear us?
Katrina.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, it wasn't supposed to be a spiritual sort of thing. It really just felt like kind of nice rubbing.
Oh, that's not what I... A
nice chill.
That's
chill.
Not what I had.
Well,
I,
it's a hog. Hog got in there.
Right. A spirit named Zephyridi made me stab my former self and explain to me about my relationship with my mother.
Yeah, that wasn't supposed to happen.
That wasn't supposed to happen. Okay. Nah, no.
Drugs affect people in different ways. But you got a harsh, harsh corn silo slide.
A hog that looks like Zephyridi comes up and just starts like sniffing around Katrina and just kind of bumping. But this hog's not talking. It's just being a hog.
He likes you.
Yeah, he likes you.
So Sorry, this is I think I know this hog. Zephyrides. Sorry, this is awkward. You look like someone I know. Is your name Zephyrides? No.
Well,
okay, I was wrong.
I didn't think a city girl would take to the hogs this quickly.
Yeah, I am. Can I go back in? You have to wait a certain amount of time.
No, you can hop right back. I mean, it's getting dark, but yeah, you can.
We cut back to the city where Katrina is working as part owner of a coffee co-op where all the customers are also owners. And she's one of the organizers. So she's a barista, but it's one of these things where she's an owner, everybody's an owner. It's a very forward-thinking coffee shop. And the co-workers have noticed a change in Katrina. Katrina, can I ask you something?
Yeah.
Ever since you started going to the country, you just seem like so much more centered than I'm used to you being.
Yeah, I bet it does seem centered to you.
I don't mean to be rude, but I used to think that you were a total shallow bee, and now I don't anymore. I kind of admire you.
Wow. Well, a very wise hog once told me that if you find someone else to be shallow and a bee, that actually that means that that's how you feel about yourself. That's verbatim what this hog told me, word for word, exact syntax.
You remembered exactly, no problem?
Mm-hmm, yeah. And it's crazy because I didn't really know what he meant at the time. And now I do.
Okay, well, I filled out this I-9 and I photocopied my passport. Can I buy a coffee here now?
Human, to unlock the bonus scene, you must subscribe to the ad-free version of the show, exclusively available at improvforhumans.com.
Brett, do you mind looking up a story?
Sure.
I can share it quicker than I probably could. Google Atlantis walking with sharks.
New video shows shark attack on 10-year-old at Atlantis resort.
Yeah, we don't need to see the video, but can you read the story of what happened? Actually, I didn't know there was a video. Goodness gracious.
Sounds horrible. Let's see. New video obtained by TMZ captured the moment after a shark bit a 10-year-old Maryland boy who was on vacation in the Bahamas. The boy is seen frantically swimming to the surface as his leg bleeds, turning the surrounding waters a misty red. His father quickly jumps into the tank to help his son get to safety as sharks circle them. The attack occurred January 15th at a resort on Paradise Island. The boy was participating in a shark tank expedition when he was bitten on the right leg. He's listed as stable. They were participating in the underwater encounter called Walking with the Sharks, run by an outside company, Blue Adventures, by Stewart Cove. Once the little boy came down, it just kind of took a dark turn. We saw the sharks home in on him, and then just like a pool of blood afterwards. Jeez, that's it.
So this is my question. My family went to that resort like a month and a half before that. Last night, my wife was like, this happened. I was like, there was nothing called swimming with the sharks when we were, I'm like, and I bet her, I was like, I don't believe that. And now that you read the detail that was an outside company, I'm thinking it wasn't there when we were there. I'm like, I would have looked at that and gone, that's fucking nuts. And I ask you guys, would you ever do something like that, even if it was at a resort or whatever? Because you trust it when it's at a resort. You're like, oh, people do this all the time.
I would do anything. I'm an idiot for that stuff. Like if it's offered like in a systematic way, I'm like, must be all right. Doesn't matter how crazy it sounds.
I think
there's always the first day of that systematic thing.
I think I kind of did do this in Cancun one time. there was like all these sharks in the shallow part of the ocean, and there's like resort guys hyping it up, and you could walk around with them, and it just seems, and I did it.
That sounds stupid.
It sounds so stupid, and the whole time I'm thinking, how is this okay? Like, these sharks are huge. I was like, Will, where yeah. I'm just like, well, they say it's okay. Like, I'm they wouldn't so do basic. This if they're going to kill me.
I'm so basic with this stuff. It's like snakes, hate them, evil. Sharks, evil, keep them away. Alligators, no thank you. Like, it's just so obvious to me. It's like, monster, go away. I don't want to be anywhere near it.
Yeah, you're trusting your biological programming, like not asking any questions. You trust your biology over a resort.
Yeah, and who wants to be near a shark for any reason?
I mean, if it were like a tub of great whites, I would be like, something doesn't seem right about this. But if it's like tiger sharks, aren't those much smaller?
I think
smaller?
These were, my daughter was saying, they're just lemon sharks. So I think they were lemon sharks, whatever that is. That does sound nice. It's just a lemon shark. They just eat lemons.
So Sydney's stance was this little kid was asking for it. He was like, he must have done something wrong.
Like I said, we were fucking there. And they have a water slide where you go down the water slide and you go into this tube where you're surrounded by sharks. Okay. But you're in a fucking glass tube. And I thought that's what she was talking about. I'm like, no, they have that there. There's no one be dumb enough to have something that I read. I'm like, I'm fucking wrong. There's some fucking where you walk around with sharks.
I just Googled lemon sharks. They're huge.
Hey, good afternoon. Can I speak to the day manager, please?
Yes,
I'm it's a beautiful manager. Lobby you got here. I love how you painted the ceiling blue like the sky.
Oh, thank you for noticing that. You got quite an eye for hotels.
Thank you very much. Hi, my name's Lloyd Riviera. I'm a salesman for special events here at hotels.
Oh, well, Lloyd, I got to tell you, we have some events that we're already pretty happy with.
Not here. Like this.
Oh, well, you know what? I like the cut of your
Listen,
jibsaw.
Listen, you seem here like a busy guy. How about I give you the quick pitch?
Okay, I was talking to you, but sure, yeah, let's hear it.
You got some kind of body of water here, a pool or some ocean water?
Oh, we got a pool.
Water?
We're right on the beach, actually.
You probably got both. I mean, you're right here on the beach. It's a beautiful
place. Right
here
on the beach, yeah, we got a pool.
Now imagine this. We fill it with critters. We put a tube in. Kids go sliding through the tube. They see the critters up close, pop out the other side. And, you know, we make a couple of bucks, you make a couple of bucks, and, you know, you get to have something more exciting than a pool going on for the day.
Lloyd, what are you talking about? Do I
shark tube?
Shark tube in the pool, Lloyd?
Shark tube. We bring the tube. We bring the sharks. We collect 30% of the tank for people who sign up, and the kid gets to go sliding through a tube up close and personal with his favorite types of sharks.
Lloyd, I got to tell you, the pool's pretty popular just as a pool. People really like
people in there.
Excuse me, sir.
Yes.
Do you have a kind of, I've been in the pool all day, it's fine, but do you maybe have something more exciting and unique as a vacation experience?
Little one.
Maybe something
from the mouths of babes.
Maybe something shark related.
Are you a guest here?
We cut to the parking lot where the salesman's paying his nephew off.
Here's a lollipop. Why don't you
Thank
go enjoy
it? Thank you, Mr. Riviera, Uncle Riviera, sir.
And we cut to the next day, that kid and some other workmen, they did close the deal on that, and they're trying it for the first time, the shark tube.
Okay, right. Folks, you can stay in the pool, but when they're bringing the tube around, you just got to move out of the way. We're just setting up something for something we're going to try later in the afternoon.
We can stay in the pool.
Yes, just get out of the workman's way. Thanks.
So how long are you guys going to take doing this? You'll be set up by, what, 1 p.m., I hope?
Well, we don't have as many workers as we did the last time we set up, so it'll probably take about an hour and 10 minutes to set up before my nephew can go through.
Okay.
Oh, might be until 2. Might be until 2.
We need to set it up. And my son's not here either, so it'll be my nephew's first time going through the tube.
Okay. And so when do you put the sharks in the pool last, I assume? Because I need to tell my customer. What's that?
Put the sharks in first and then the tube.
The sharks go around the outside of the tube. Where the tube goes.
Okay, you told me that my customers, they could stay in the pool up until.
Excuse me. Sorry to interject. Picture it like a donut. The sharks will be swimming through what is the bread of the donut, and the humans go through the center.
Okay.
I'd love to have one so that I can become an actual guest at this hotel, because I'll only do it if the shark is two works. Excuse me, Mr. Uncle Riviera, can I get another lollipop?
Yeah, here's another lollipop. Hey. Smart kid. You got a bright future.
Now listen, sir, I know you're worried about your customers. They got nothing to worry about. These are lemon sharks another special breed called sweetie sharks.
Okay, I'm not a big shark
guy. They're very non-threatening animals. They're cute little things.
Can I get a look at them? Is that the tank over there?
Yeah, with the tarp over it. Yeah, you can get a peek-see.
I can peek up, just lift
take a little
the tarp.
Peek-see.
Yeah.
Lift up the tarp and take a peek-see at the lemon sharks and the sweetie sharks.
Try not to let them see you, but you can peek.
Don't make eye contact.
Okay, so see just, that as just a corner of this tarp right here, and I just take a little peek.
Take a little peek-see.
Okay.
Oh my God!
Did you look at him?
Did he see you?
Don't make eye contact. Did he see you?
That was terrifying. Was that a lemon shark or a sweetie?
Lemon shark. Yeah.
That's the lemon shark that ate my son.
That ate your son.
Yeah. That you see how it says under new management?
Yeah.
Well, my son got...
His son used to own the place, but he got eaten by a lemon shark.
I had to put it in my son's name for liability reasons.
But that ain't working no more. Now it's in his name. Lloyd Riviera.
Under new management.
All right. Let's cut load to the these funeral. Sharks in, buddy.
We cut back to the funeral when
Lloyd Riviera Jr.
Do you want to say something, sir, Mr. Riviera?
Ooh,
before we put him into the ground.
Oh, boy. All right. Hey, thanks, everybody, for coming. We really appreciate it. I was not looking forward to this. What can I say? My boy, entrepreneurial. Good boy. Made a lot of the big decisions. We've been very upfront about that with all the various authorities who've come spoken to us about the business practices. He made a lot of the big decisions. Precocious. Precocious boy. But he paid the price. And he paid the price for going through the tube too slowly. If you're too slow, they get you. It's as simple as that. And he knew that. We all knew that. You got to be fast going through the tube. And God, I'll miss him. Great kid. Great kid.
Let's talk some more about that.
We never curse on this show, so I wanted to cut that off because okay, we just fair. Went down a bad road there. I
can't. I need to go blue.
Yeah, or sex scenes.
That's my style.
That's blue, yeah.
Oh, now, blue is just sex scenes? Blue is not cursing? Oh, I guess, yeah, no, I blue is both. Just like...
Blue is more getting sexy cursing, right?
I thought it was just like lowbrow. Raunch, right?
I thought it was all manner of just like R-rated stuff, but I've never thought about it.
I thought it was
I guess
all manner
blue
of
like an old vaudeville
too.
Term yeah. mm-hmm. for like Buddy Hackett sex jokes or something like
mm-hmm.
that.
It doesn't work blue.
It's R-rated, but also like scatological. So yeah. my mind grips it.
That's what I always thought.
For sure.
Okay. We don't do that kind of humor.
Well, I'm sorry I dragged the show down. That's my way. That's my way.
It seems like that's all we do when we have a really mellow musical guest on. They'll do like a really sweet, soft song, and then we do some fucking scene about eating
Buddha,
shit.
Get your asshole off my lips or whatever. Some improv show I did forever ago. We can't do scenes on this because this will be too vile. But like, it was Team Brooklyn Neal from way back in the day. But whatever,
at the
like,
Johnny Pineapple Theater,
Charlie Pineapple Theater,
Charlie. Pineapple.
This was a thing where like when Williamsburg first like became like the hot neighborhood, Kevin Mullaney, UCB Theater in New York, was like, we have to like colonize that neighborhood. So we'll take anybody who's a UCB Herald team performer who happens to live in Williamsburg, make them a team, and they'll do shows at this. Theater trying to win people over to UCB improv. And I was on this team and it was really fun. It was kind of like unsupervised, no coaches, no teachers, just sort of like, but we would go super, we would swear a lot and do like dirty scenes and stuff. And so one night we're like, oh, we got to do better improv. We got to like try to like not do blues. We got to try to do a PG show just as a challenge. And it was like the most vile. It ended with like somebody playing Jesus while being crucified, performing fellatio on Buddha. Like the most vile show I've like ever done. And we got off and we were like, we're supposed to not do that. We're like, oh, we had completely forgotten. That's right. Oh, right. Like a fever dream had overtaken us. We went so far.
Oh, you're supposed to not do that.
It was fun in a way. It was fun in a strange way. Oh, and then I can't believe I'm still talking. You should just cut all this out. But in Williamsburg, in a like a pizzeria that was right by the Bedford stop, that was kind of like a late night pizza slice joint, a woman came up to me and said, hey, are you in that improv group that does those shows on Tuesday nights? And I was like, yeah. She goes, oh, I put you in my comic book. And she was like an alternative comic artist named Gabrielle Bell. And she would do like diaries of her life. And so one of them was going to our comedy show, but the comedy show was her in the audience. Yes. And so we were like in her comic book. It was kind of fun.
And do you think that she like had speech bubbles coming out of your mouth?
I saw it and it was her being like, I went to an improv show, which I normally hate. And the first half of it was so stupid. But then the second half of it was actually kind of funny.
This one had Jesus going down on Buddha, so I think I'm in.
So, anyway.
It seems like you guys just, like, that's how the muses wanted to speak through you. Like, you got all the dirty muses, you know?
Yeah.
That's outside of your control.
Yeah, that's not normally my style, I don't think, except when I'm on Improv for Humans or when I'm doing improv in Williamsburg, Brooklyn. Then I go as dirty as I can.
She's here again tonight, and she's definitely drawing during the show. And I peeked over her shoulder, and she's a good cartoonist just by getting a quick gander.
So she's drawing us?
Yeah, I saw a drawing of you for sure.
How are we being represented? I mean,
I saw
you. Stuff's supposed to be ephemeral and be kind of disposable.
I know you say that at the top of the show.
Yeah, I really let everybody know that this is temporary.
You really lean into that.
Yeah.
Do you want to talk to her and ask her what she's doing?
What's that?
This is going to change the outfits that I wear because I normally dress for sort of comfort and, you
Me
know,
too.
I want to stand out from the black curtain, so I'll wear a color or something like that. But if I'm being drawn, I'm going to want a totally different wardrobe.
Yeah, we should kind of have separate looks, too. We all kind of dress the same t-shirt and cargo shorts.
We
dress the same.
We need to make ourselves stand out. Yeah. I'll be a pink guy. I'll be pink. I'm going to wear a lot of pink.
That's all you're doing?
Guys don't wear pink, so that's a good way to stand out.
I'm going to wear a suit.
I'll just do vertical stripes, I guess.
All right. Well, that's good. We'll be kind of separate.
We cut to the next show and the intro is extra long and they're kind of like posing around the stage. And so that's going to be the show. We will be taking suggestions. And remember, improv is here today, but gone tomorrow.
Improv doesn't count. That's what we always say. It doesn't count and shouldn't be remembered. So can we get the backlight? Can we get a better backlight? Sorry, tech guy. Can you get the backlight to be a little more balanced with the key light?
Actually, I requested to just keep it the same, Tommy. I think I look better with the stage lights.
Okay. I see that.
Okay.
Isn't this funny how the stripes sort of bend around the contours of my arms as I sort of lean this way? You know, the lines. It's like the radio. It's like a Zen garden up and down my body.
Soothing.
And they cut to after the show where they're peeking out from the green room curtain. Oh, man, she is going to town.
She's drawing so much. I thought our show was okay, but I didn't think there was anything so...
It was a fine show. It was good.
It's got to be the new look.
Oh, hey. Hey.
Hey.
How's it going?
Oh, it's going great. I don't mean to interrupt your kind of host show, breakdown.
Not at all.
Yeah, I'm actually a cartoonist, and I actually drew you guys into my comic book.
Oh, wow.
Oh, you have your own comic book?
Mm-hmm.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Can I show you?
Yeah, please.
So I actually drew you guys as all cats. Oh. And you are wearing sweatpants because that's what I saw you in the first time that I saw you. I know that you're into suits. You're wearing a suit tonight, but I kind of just, to me, your essence is sweatpants.
Mm-hmm.
Why is mine licking his crotch?
Because that's kind of your essence, just the way I see it. I'm just a cartoonist. So I kind of just like,
yeah,
whatever I see, you know.
You're an artist.
Yeah, yeah.
I guess cats do that. So that's not crazy for a cat to do that, I guess.
Well, but these are anthropomorphic cats, and that actually is the kind of human element for you that I saw for you personally that I was bringing into this.
So licking my crotch is my human side?
Just kind of like your essence as I like imagined it.
Okay.
And I'm sitting on a human toilet?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and again, cats can be trained to do that, but in this instance, that is kind of the anthropomorphic you individually, just kind of your vibe, just kind of playing around with that.
In your drawing of our show, there's a sign above the stage that says "The Assholes."
Yes.
Well, that's kind of not the name of our group.
No, that's just like a cheeky thing because it's kind of like you guys all have them as parts of your body, but also you—that's kind of the personality type, just as your ensemble.
Cats, pretty famously.
Yeah.
Our group name is Don Nichols.
Yeah.
That's the name we picked.
Our name, we fought of it for a long time and we finally arrived at Don Nichols.
Mm-hmm.
I'm in law school.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
We cut to the green room before the next show next Tuesday. She's out there again. And frankly, I don't fucking like it. She's humiliating us and make us look like fucking literally assholes.
I can't watch the show. I rarely lick my crotch in a show. I've done it maybe once.
She's making us look dumb, man. Can't we say we have the right to refuse our comedy to you?
Could we get like a bouncer intern? Or?
We can't afford a bouncer. We're only charging $2 a ticket.
I just don't like it.
I'll go talk to her. I mean, we rent the theater to do this. I think we have to.
I say
the
we
right
just do the show and talk to her after. I'm not ashamed of our work.
No, me neither.
I don't like it.
Hey, great show, guys. That was awesome.
Hey, how's it
thanks
going?
Thanks for coming back.
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah, no, it's a pleasure. As co-owner of the theater, I'm really happy to support the...
You co-own the theater?
When did that happen?
Yeah, do you guys not?
No, we just rent the space for the hour.
We just rent it and perform.
It's a co-op theater, so yeah.
And yeah, but I just thought that was the business.
But you're paying to be here, right? You rent it.
Yeah.
You're giving money to rent it, yeah.
Well, yeah, you're paying in 1/24th to be here.
Right, yeah. We bought time slices.
And we cut to rehearsal, and I had my lawyer look at it, and we have to now perform there every Tuesday for the next 3 years.
What?
It's part of this co-op we agreed to. I knew.
Why
I
would
should
they
have read
want
all
that?
That
they
stuff.
Want an improv group every Tuesday.
So I don't even think space. They. I think they use it for the comic book money.
That woman sells essentially comic books full of caricatures of every show that ends up on stage there.
Well, it's funny that you say that. There's multiple comic book artists who are coming to the show. Like, they all need ideas, and they're coming to our improv show?
Don't you see? Underground comics are about neurotic losers. Every one of them are in some way or another. And they're just looking for characters from our world, us. They're using us for our personalities.
So they're not coming for our improv comedy. They're coming for us as archetypes?
Yes.
So then this one says, as you can see, they're using us for our personalities.
And you watch this backstage?
They're using us for our archetypes. He's the angry one. He's so angry.
What is your opinion?
Speaking of TV shows, I texted Will this morning because I've been watching, my wife and I have been watching True Detective. Have y'all been watching? I know Will.
I've been watching it, yes.
Neil? I've
been.
No.
Hillary?
Nope.
Brett?
Yes. Yeah.
You seen all three episodes?
I have.
And when we release this, it'll be more episodes in, so this won't be a spoiler at all.
Yeah, so but we're allowed to say whatever we want.
Maybe. Pretty much. What do we know? I won't spoil after three episodes. There's nothing to know.
Yeah.
But just a few things. So Jodie Foster's character, she's one of the detectives, one of the true detectives. I like the character trait that she fucks everybody in town and every town around.
Yeah, the sex scenes are very, like, upsetting. Like,
they're just sort of out of nowhere. It's like, yeah. Someone would be just like, hey, are we going to do that thing? And then they're just, like, humping real loud. It's like, wait, was that?
Also, Jodie Foster, great acting, because she doesn't strike me as she fucks everybody in town, but that's why she's an actor. But she's not selling me on she plays fantasy football. I will tell you that. This is what I want to talk about, though. Brett, what do you think I texted Will about?
I had no idea when you texted me. You were talking about True Detective. I was like, why is Besser texting me about True Detective? I could not. And then you told me why. It's very funny to me, and I should have known.
Oh, my God. I have no idea.
There's a song playing in the first episode. So it's related to our
other podcast, Brett, that you and I do.
Oh, of course. Of course. Of course I know this. Because Twist and Shout keeps coming up.
Yes.
The Beatles version of Twist and Shout.
So, dear listeners, this isn't like a spoiler because we have zero idea.
I was thinking of both of you during that every time.
Thank you, Brett. Yes. Will should have thought of me, but he didn't.
I was not thinking of Matt Besser. I was thinking of John Lennon.
You should think of me every time Twist and Shout comes
I should.
On.
You're right, though. I should.
You should have thought of me, too.
Yeah. You should think of Brett.
You're right.
And me.
So in the show, like, this is a non-spoilery thing. There's a murder or some sort of crime weird thing that is revealed in the first episode, and the season is going to be figuring that out. But at the scene of the crime, the scene from Ferris Bueller is playing where Ferris is singing Twist and Shout in the middle of the parade, and that for some reason is on a loop at the crime scene. So the whole time they're investigating, this song is playing in the background, sort of a weird juxtaposition, this like happy, silly song while this very gruesome scene is being investigated.
And it's come back as sort of a dreamlike part of the
whenever the cops are thinking about the case, like Twist and Shout will sometimes
play as a reality. That's what I don't understand. You say dreamlike. It's not in a dream. They think they hear it.
They think they hear it. That's right. It's sort of hallucinatory.
We don't know what is a psychedelic dream or what might be supernatural or what is sort of like,
So let's pause right here. We're three episodes in. And when we finish this season, we're going to have Will Hines back, Brett. But right now...
Well, can I just tell the context of this just in case people don't know
go
why?
Go for it. I thought we did, but go for it. What did we miss? Well,
I mean, the context of you and me.
Oh, go ahead.
Oh, yeah.
So we did... me and Brett Morris are part of a podcast called Screw It. We're just going to talk about the Beatles. Plunge. But we just talk about the Beatles. Besser had me on as a guest where he insisted that Twist and Shout was the worst Beatles song ever, which even as a joke, I could not yes and or abide.
Yeah, you're still
mad
about it.
It's such an insane thing to say. I would not play along.
I don't like it.
You don't like it either, Neil?
No.
And then I've debated Besser's daughter about the quality of Twist and Shout as a song. And I think by judging from Reddit comments, was soundly beaten in that debate. Although I did not realize I was going to be debating,
I think that was more JoJo Siwa versus the Beatles. But
JoJo Siwa versus the Beatles.
I mean, you lost defending the Beatles. Period.
I was defending the Beatles versus JoJo Siwa, and I was out debated. anyway,
notice Jodie Foster's character. Well, to add to my side of the debate on Twist and Shout, Jodie Foster's character turns off that Ferris Bueller scene and she goes, I hate the Beatles.
Yeah.
That's right.
Are, Or does she say, I'm not a fan of the Beatles? What does she say?
I think she's...
Something like that. She's like, not a fan. Like, I don't get it.
She basically says she hates the Beatles.
Yeah.
Based on hearing Twist and Shout. Yeah. So I thank mean, you. So that, well, that's what happened. And now everybody's... So now, right now...
She could not tolerate that song playing.
Yeah. Like, so right now, the three of us and Hillary and Neil, if they want to, even though they haven't seen it, just based on what they've heard, we will give our what we think the reason is everyone hears Twist and Shout in the show.
Okay, I have a theory. Okay, obviously, just a theory because we don't know how it's going to turn out. Should I go first?
Yeah.
Yeah.
My theory is that Twist and Shout is a representation of the force of good in the world. And it is God trying to broadcast hope into this bleak scene. And then at the end, when they find out who the evil person is and catch them, Twist and Shout will play triumphantly. And it'll be like in the final montage of the show, it's like a happy song.
Ugh. God, I think it's a, so I think it's going to be good versus
evil. It's a very good versus evil, like Twin Peaks kind of supernatural things are in play.
Can I ask you and all of you, supernatural, is that part of the world of True Detective? I thought there was supernatural in the first season and they debunk it and they're like, it's not that, it's humans. It's not, you That's, want it to be supernatural. The first season, yeah,
looked like it was going to be supernatural. It ends up all just being real serial killers.
So can I watch a show where it'd be like watching Law and Order and all of a sudden there's magic? You'd be like, what? Wait a minute. There's no magic in the world of Law and Order. That's our world.
There's a couple magic episodes of Law and Order. Sam Waterston believes in Santa at the end of one, like looks up at the sky out the window.
Well,
I think the Twist and Shout is just as simple as work it on out. They're just working it out.
I'm thinking maybe just like the victims were literally twisting and shouting in the ice.
But why does, but that makes why it'd be the soundtrack to the show. But why does Jodie Foster hear it in her fucking refrigerator?
Okay. Non-supernatural theory is that Twist and Shout. That not supernatural forces, but people, because of like a virus or something, are being brought into an ecstatic state where they are screaming and losing control of themselves and leading to their deaths, which that could be true based on what we've seen.
Yes, but why – that does make sense, everything you said, but why Twist and Shout?
Well, Twist and Shout is sort of just like in this non-supernatural theory. It's just like a motif that represents – kind of ecstasy, like old school religious speaking in tongues, ecstatic.
Okay. Yeah, mass hysteria.
Yes, yes.
As depicted in the Ferris Bueller scene of right, the parade and the synchronized dancing on the float.
And I like that.
Again, who haven't seen a single episode of the show True Detective ever, but have heard probably one NPR piece about the current season. So knowing that it takes place in Antarctica.
Alaska.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that's right. They got it wrong in the NPR piece I'm remembering. Okay. In Alaska. And I know that the crime has to do with Frozen.
People yeah. being frozen.
Frozen.
Yeah. Frozen. Yeah.
And so I think that, that it's a neurological trauma response that Jodie Foster is experiencing because inside of her refrigerator, it's very cold, frozen.
Oh, shit. Nice, Hillary.
Well, that does make sense.
Haven't seen any of it. So.
Or Twist and Shout represents ultimate goodness and it's God talking to Jodie Foster. What? Saying yeah. Beatles are good.
Yeah. Brett, what's your theory? Hillary's the best so far.
Yeah, I know. I feel like you actually just solved it. But I was going to say that I think Twist and Shout or the Beatles must have been playing. There must have been a part of some trauma for Jodie Foster.
But more than her, she's not the only one who hears it. The other detective hears it out on the ice in the night.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, again, yeah, I think
it's multiple people. So mass hysteria. Wills is a drug. I'm going to go with what I really think it is, but I'm going to go with my wife's theory, which I also thought of. But I think it's bad writing, and it doesn't make sense. And it is going to be David Lynchian and like, oh, man, these things never fucking tied up. But this is the Manchurian candidate that these scientists have brainwashed them to have Twist and Shout as the trigger song to make you do something or activates the drug or something.
My real theory is that there is a virus in play. They were scientists and they unlocked some weird virus.
Okay, but still that doesn't explain hearing the song.
I have to admit, even as a huge fan who's defended it too much on this show, I thought it was just decoration. I wasn't thinking it was going to be like...
But they're not... I'm beating a dead horse. But they're not playing it as a soundtrack. The, right. the characters actually hear it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So maybe it's just there's a little radio buried under the ice somewhere.
Oh, my God. God, and somehow it reverberates so you can hear it all around town. Oh, but why would it just be that over and over again? That's weird too.
I remember in the first season.
Or maybe the original Beatles are frozen. They uncovered the Beatles. It's a live performance.
The actual Paul McCartney really and brothers. Still alive John Lennon.
Yeah. Ooh. Yeah. The Cavern Club.
The Cavern Boys. I remember the first season being disappointed that it wasn't supernatural. Like the first half of the season seemed like there was some freaky deaky stuff going on. And then it ends up being like, no, just a dude killing people.
Yeah. Spoiler, but the other way to say that is you're into a detective show that any mystery detective that's really smart. And then all of a sudden it's just super. Once you introduce supernatural, it's like, well, supernatural, anything can happen.
Right, but a lot of people felt that way when they introduced magic into Law and Order, and then everyone kind of came around.
Yeah. And he was like, Adam, it's not one of those things. Yeah. It's a cut and dry, state lines. He was on the New Jersey side of the Lincoln Tunnel. And the next week, it'd be like, you think it's the elves?
So we cut to a Lincoln, it's the other side of the Lincoln Tunnel, and it's a crime scene. And some new detectives. And the head has been severed from the body. It's completely missing. There's no blood and no trace of what you would normally see when something's cut. It just looks like it just disappeared as if by magic.
Looks like the body was decapitated. But where is the head?
Yeah, that's one theory.
It's a clean cut. Son of a bitch. Looks like he didn't suffer much. That's the best thing I can say about it.
Yeah, but it's our job to close the case. And we can go look for a lot of clues and interview a lot of people. But doesn't this just seem... like magic.
What are you talking about? What are you talking about, Rodriguez?
I'm thinking that King Arthur came back from the dead with the blessed sword Excalibur. Chopped off this guy's head. The magic sword Excalibur instantly cauterized the wound so no blood came out.
Is that part of the mythology, Arthur? The matter of Britain?
I've inferred.
Isn't he coming back at Britain's hour of need? Why would he come back and kill somebody on the Jersey side of the Lincoln Tunnel?
Maybe that's now. And he still thinks that America's part of the British Empire. We were never meant to go back.
We cut to the station later, and the detectives. The family's in the next room, and they're a little upset that we're not investigating the crime anymore. We've just closed it due to King Arthur jumping back into a time portal.
I don't understand. It's like, is it even part of the mythology?
Man, we're learning more and more things about Arthurian mythology every day. So you can't just put a period on it.
It doesn't make any sense because I saw her yesterday. She was alive yesterday and he's supposed to come back in Britain's hour of need. So it just... None of it makes any sense.
Hey, Lieutenant, I got a call back from Scotland Yard. The crows are still at the Tower of London. If it were Britain's hour of need, the crows would have left. Almost certainly.
Yeah.
God damn it. That means we're going to have to open back up this case.
That's the best piece of evidence that it's not King Arthur yet. So we could interview some people and sneak around for some evidence, but maybe it's the Vorpal Blade. The Vorpal Blade from Alice in Wonderland, the magic sword that goes snickety-snack and can chop anything. The walrus was talking about it to Alice.
That's probably it. I don't know why we didn't think about that the first time. I'm sorry, man.
The Vorpal Blade's the ultimate weapon. Snickety-snack can cut through anything.
I'm sorry, are you guys supposed to be kind of coming up with these theories in front of me?
I don't know if that's a theory. That seems like a solid case closer right there. Sorry about the whole Arthurian new mythology we were looking at.
That was a boondoggle. Now, this is a Lewis Carroll sort of rhyming flight of fancy.
Okay. And again, you don't think that it's just kind of like classic, like, ex-boyfriend?
Did she have an ex-boyfriend?
Yeah.
Whoa.
Did he have a history of violence, or was he an angry person?
He was incredibly angry. Yeah, they were in couples therapy about it.
Does he have a sword collection, or good with blades, or a butcher?
Does the katana count? I don't know.
Hold on, yes. Lieutenant. Wasn't it the Queen of Hearts who set off with people's heads in Alice in Wonderland?
That's darn right.
That's gotta be it. Might have been the
Queen of Hearts who did this.
No, sorry. I thought that we were just... I can give you his contact information.
No need. I think we've got our...
We got it. The Queen of Hearts.
Well, we could talk to him. He could corroborate. Whether it was at the tea party or if it was his unbirthday.
We cut to outside this guy's apartment. You hear him inside yelling and screaming, and there's like heavy metal music on.
Yeah! Fuck people! Sorry!
Ah! NYPD, we'd like to ask you a few questions.
All right, one second. I'm gonna get my robe on.
What is it? What do you guys want?
You got any kind of whimsical rhyming weapons in here, sir?
Huh?
Do you have any, have you had any fanciful experiences lately where you've gone somewhere sort of topsy-turvy or sort of undulating fantasy land with a lot of wordplay and goofs?
Well, I had somebody in my life who was delusional, but I took care of that problem.
And what do you mean by take care?
I don't think I'm going to be any more clear than that to some pigs, but let's just say I, chopped the top off of my problem.
Curiouser and curiouser.
Crap on YouTube.
Humans, Brett, do you mind playing that crap on YouTube? And we will probably end with that.
Dwight David Honeycutt for Conway School Board.
This is 14 years ago.
Hi. I believe test scores must be higher. I believe we must educate our youth to be capable citizens of the world. I went to this school. It's time for class. Do you know where your children are? My name is Dwight David Honeycutt. I've put together this 5-minute video to let you know why I need to be elected to the Conway School Board.
He skips a rock.
Right there.
One skip.
School board.
I weighed 14 pounds when I was born.
Jesus.
My mama had 64 hours of labor, and she pushed so hard that she shot a turd and knocked off the doctor's glasses.
What?
I'm strong like a bear. I can lift 100 pounds right up over my head. I can palm a basketball. Nice shot. I'm a friend of babies.
Whoa.
I was an army hero.
Hero.
And I like kites. And I love other cultures. ¿Dónde está el baño?
Oh, my God.
I grew up in the Conway school system. They wouldn't hire me as a teacher, so who better to shoot you straight?
Ooh.
When they said I couldn't teach because of previous incarceration, I became the star of a local children's show. We played games and sang songs, and I didn't even mind taking direction from a black.
What the fuck? Shit.
I like crossbows.
What?
ATVs. Birds of prey.
He's got a big whiskey.
My father used to call me a failure.
Failure?
Failure? Failure?
I can fly any plane known to man. I can captain any ship under 100 tons. I once busted a zero-gravity Orbis fly rod, catching 30 peacock bass in 4.5 hours.
I have the biggest dreams and the strongest hands in this goddamn state. Oh, hell, I'm not perfect.
I've got dips in my dick.
What?
What?
I don't recycle.
Anything else?
I made out with a dude.
Keep surprising us, right?
So sweaty. He's really sweaty.
I stole my granddaughter's ADD medicine.
What is diabetes. Up with this? Is this supposed to be funny?
Yes.
It's supposed to be funny. 15 years ago.
My favorite movies are Gladiator, In the Line of Fire, and Friday. John F. Kennedy said, all someone needs is the willingness.
Okay, can you stop? So this is comedy on purpose?
Yeah. And there's a full 2 minutes left just so that all the listeners know.
Well, he had me going for a while then. Does it say that, Brett, in the comments that it's fake or not?
Not that it's like outright fake. Like it might be this guy's actual local political campaign video, but he's obviously trying to be.
The username's the guy's real name, and it seems like he's trying to manufacture a Winnebago man sort of viral situation in the kind of in the Tim and Eric heyday of montaging people who really aren't camera ready into an extended self-referential sketch.
Those old photos of him looked like actual old photos of him. Which is an interesting puzzle piece.
Yeah.
Including on set at the kids show, which is.
Yeah.
Yeah. If I were an old guy like that with that accent at that time and I saw Winnebago Man go viral the way it did in the early days of video on the internet, I'd be very tempted to try to make that happen for myself if I was a strange old creep.
I think it's like his son or something. His son had a wild hair to try comedy and.
I think he really did run for that school board.
Really?
Okay, so I'm just, my immediate research here, it's a real campaign video, but his nephew was helping him film it, and his nephew was like pitching all these weird ideas, like, why don't you smoke this bong? Why don't you say that you made out with a dude? Why don't you admit all this stuff? And the guy's like, I just went with it. Like, I thought it was BS to hide these weird sides of me.
That makes more sense, because I was like, this guy can't be this good an actor.
Wait a second. So it was So is are those supposed to be real things that he did? Like, did he make out with a dude? No, that was his nephew's invention. But smoking a bong is real for him. Did he steal his granddaughter's ADD medication?
I don't know what his nephew's. I don't know what was his nephew's contribution or what's real.
Yeah, because my problem.
I bought the peacock bass. When he was doing the I can palm a basketball, I just feel like this guy's just going to show us everything he can do.
But do you believe? I believe that his mother shat during labor. I do not believe that the turd shot over the doctor's head.
And no, knocked off his glasses.
Yeah, that's.
I love that's the only one you don't believe.
That's the only one I don't believe.
Doctor,
here's a quote from the Honeycutt guy. My son of a bitch nephew, Ronald, I knew what he was doing. Like I said, I drink a little, and pretty soon he was asking questions about my sex life and putting a didgeridoo in my hand, and I went with it. And even after he didn't win the election, he kept doing public appearances.
Doctor, there's a reporter here that wants to interview you about a baby that you delivered many years ago.
All right. Yeah. I've got a few minutes. I've got a little bit of a break here. Sure.
Okay.
Hi, what can I do for you?
So I'm looking into some rumors from the new candidate. Well, actually something he puts in his campaign ad.
New candidate? I'm sorry. The politician?
Oh, I should have specified. You're probably going to think congressman or president or something. No, for the school board, the local school board, there's an ad going around.
Okay.
Claims that there was a delivery many years ago here where a woman was in labor for, let me check my notes, 64 hours.
Whew,
and yeah, okay. It lasted so long that at one point she strained so hard she shat out a turd.
Okay.
Which knocked off a doctor's glasses, and I have tracked it down and traced it to this hospital, and you being the...
Yeah. Okay, well, I'm not allowed to comment on the medical history of any individual patient, including a child who's just been born, but I can tell you generally, yeah, that happens.
It happens a lot that...
Happens often enough after a long labor... After a long labor, my eyes get tired, so I put on my actual spectacles instead of wearing contact lenses. And yeah, sometimes after a long labor like that, there will be a bowel movement, and it'll sort of shoot out and ping off my spectacles. And my spectacles will crack or fall on the floor, and it's a slippery situation, so I'll sort of fumble around on the ground trying to get my spectacles. I'll put them back on upside down or... Otherwise, have them smeared with fecal matter or other medical fluids or
bodily fluids. We cut to a different doctor's office, same reporter. Well, of course, you know that I am not at liberty to divulge any patient's information. That's I'm not able to do that. But what I can tell you is that roughly in the time period that you're asking about, I did treat somebody in the medical profession for conjunctivitis. Which is more commonly known as pink eye.
That comes from E. coli being in someone's eye.
I cannot help you draw any conclusions. I can.
Would it be possible to have that with your glasses on? Or is it possible that a woman could be in labor, pop out a turd, and it go directly into a doctor's eye? Is that possible?
Again, my understanding of the situation as you asked about it is that a turd that, again, I cannot comment on for any individual patient pinged off a pair of eyeglasses.
We cut to a labor lawyer's office. Well, of course, I can't speak to any clients I may have had in the past.
Of course.
Yes, that would be considered a workplace injury and a long-term disability if someone was pinged in the eye by a piece of human feces and through the E. coli in the feces, they got pink eye. Yes, I have represented someone that's happened to against the hospital group, and I had brought in another doctor, very pleasant, friendly doctor, who... came to testify to the facts of that matter in a court proceeding.
So that's a yes, that did happen.
It may or may not have.
We cut to a tarot card reader. Now, I'm not allowed to divulge the readings that I give any clients. That's personal information of the client. Well, that's a code that I follow.
Okay.
It's a personal reading, but... I will say that occasionally when you're giving a reading, the turd card comes up. It's rare. It's one of the rarest cards in the tarot deck. But when the turd card comes up, that person or somebody that person loves has had some farcical business with the turd occur. I can't confirm if that was anybody in this town or on the day that you're asking about. But I can confirm that I've had it happen with some clients.
And we cut to a convenience store that sells baby wipes.
really a convenience store? You can't tell me who was in here?
Sorry, we're not at liberty to divulge any information of any individual customers. It's against our oath.
You can't tell me some guy came in here, shit-covered eyed, need to buy some baby wipes. That seems like a funny story to get passed around the clerks here.
I mean, I can't tell you that, but I can point you in the direction of a specific VHS security tape that we have kept behind the counter for many years. If you happen to be around when
we cut to the Congress, the guy running for school board in his own home, watching an ad by the person up against him on school board, and it shows how he lied. It shows this slow motion footage of his it has both the doctor walking into the convenience store to buy baby wipes with a shit covered eye. It has footage of the doctor without glasses getting shat in the eye.
Nuts.
Well, Mr. Uncle Lloyd Riviera, this was the best I can do, not having any video experience. That'll be 5 lollipops.
And Sane Humans. Holy shit, Hillary brought it back around. Neil Casey, tell us about this podcast you're doing lately. Plug it, please.
I am doing a podcast with Ike Barinholtz and Lisa Gilroy. It's the next in the lineup of the podcast that Amy Poehler is producing over with Paper Kite. It's sort of a parody of the blowhard male podcast host who's coming for redemption into mainstream society after having messed up in the past, and I play his best friend, the professor, his longtime buddy from stand-up, who he drags along to every project he does. And it's very funny, and I recommend people listen to it wherever you listen to your podcasts. Chris Chapman do-over
is funny. Will,
I'd like to plug to go? Screw it, we're just going to talk about the Beatles podcast I do with Brett Morris and a couple people. Now you might say, boy, do we need any more documentation of the band the Beatles? And our podcast is here to say yes. So come listen to us talk about the Beatles and all Beatles news and insights. We're about to do an episode on the recently released Red album, The Greatest Hits, which they've released a remixed version of. We will be discussing the remixed versions of songs that you already know.
That's the first album I had, was the Red.
Me too.
Yeah,
me too.
Album. For a lot of people.
Okay, Hillary, tell us where we can find you.
I am up with Sentimental Lady. I think it's the first Thursdays at UCB at 7 p.m. and with Queen George the second Fridays at UCB at 8:30 p.m.
That's awesome. Brett, we've been talking about the 40 fan initiative. If I can get 40 subscribers in a city, I will go do Improv for Humans there and do a workshop there. So New York and LA, we already seem to have that. Chicago seemed very, very close to that. That wasn't surprising. But after that, did you look? You sent me the breakdown. Did you look yourself?
Yeah, I took a look. It looked like Austin. Was a bunch of people.
That also was not surprising. But I guess it was Seattle and Portland that I think were very close. More close than Austin, actually. So Seattle and Portland, get it going. I'd love to return there. Portland was very nice to me for my stand-up special. Also Boston. Very close to 40. So get it going there.
Yeah. And by the way, if you refer, you can give people a referral link for your subscription to improvforhumans.com. And if you get 4 people to sign up, your own subscription is discounted.
That's great. That sounds like something an improv group should do, because we are not just presenting Improv for Humans with a bonus episode ad-free. We also have 2 other feeds on behind the improvforhumans.com paywall. One, the best taste in the universe. That's more whimsical and me giving out music and sci-fi stuff I'm into. But the meat is in the Professor Besser feed, where we just had a greatest comedy of all time podcast. We talked about Norman Lear
and Tommy Smothers. We've had some Answering the Humans podcast where we've discussed or debated with Mr. Will Hines, the future of the Herald. Has there been any other major declarations, Will, since we last discussed? The last one was openings are dead. We've talked
nothing,
about that.
I guess nothing new since then, but more is coming. More revelations will be coming.
Openings are dead?
We don't need openings. Openings are dead.
You need them.
Openings are dead.
You need them.
And
it's crazy talk, Neil. It's crazy talk.
I guess, you know, the next thing will be how clowning gets integrated into improv. I think that's the next big movement.
Okay.
Can I give a personal plug here, too?
Of course, bro. Always.
Yeah. The movie Destroy All Neighbors just came out. You can watch it on Shudder. And I think there might be a few screenings in theaters, too. I composed the score, did the whole soundtrack with my buddy Ryan. It's a prog rock-based splatter comedy. There's lots of practical effects and goop and puppets and prosthetics, and it's a lot of fun. I think fans of the show would like it.
Wait a minute, what's it called again?
Destroy All Neighbors on
Shudder. Destroy All Neighbors. Check it out. And keep being human.
Improv for Humans is produced by Matt Bessel and Brett Morris. Please rate and review wherever you get your podcasts. For ad-free archives, bonus scenes from the new episodes, exclusive Discord access, new deep dive podcasts into the craft of improv, plus music and sci-fi bonus shows and premium limited series. Go to improvforhumans.com and sign up for the Roll of Four plan, only $4 a month, or $40 a year. By subscribing, you are giving us the ability to pay our brilliant guests, and giving us all a platform for more interaction, and lots more comedy.